From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Man Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Man Cometh.
On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Trent, Mark and Garth for episode 73 of The Dice Man Cometh on Thursday the 28th of May 2015. We're talking tabletop games, telling you what's up, what's down, what's in, what's out, what's round, what's polyhedral.
Wow.
In tabletop gaming, eh?
Yeah, hey? That's pretty amazing. Nice intro.
All right, we've got two-thirds of the show actually in the studio for the start of proceedings. Mark, I believe, is on his way.
Well, he generally says he's got somewhere more important to be, but I don't believe it.
You know, for all we know, he could be dead wrapped around a lamppost speeding here in the wet.
Yeah, he could
be. We shouldn't make jokes about it.
Not yet. But what are we doing this week, Trent? We are going to talk about what we've been playing, which was your birthday present.
Oh, shucks.
I know, and it got us out of playing Zolkin again, so that was really, really fantastic. You were also going to regale us with some Robin Williams news.
That'll happen.
Exactly right. We're also going to talk about BorderCon, because this time next week, we are not going to be here. We are going to be leaving on a jet plane, heading over to Melbourne, and starting 5 days of pure gaming bliss. And then we've got an interview. Mark had a chat to one of our mates, Phil Walker-Harding from Adventureland Games, designer of Sushi Go and a few other really cool games. So we've got a busy, busy week.
All this and the secret contents of Osama bin Laden's laptop. And this from the Dillinger Escape Plan. Wow, huh?
Woo.
Wow.
Good choice, good choice.
Wow. It's the Dillinger Escape Plan is the name of their band, and they have an album, or put an album out, called One of Us is the Killer. Just a couple of years ago. That's a song called Prancer from there. And I play that at the start of Edge Radio and The Dice Man Cometh. Just to clear out all the chaff.
Yeah, I think that's a wise idea.
And get to the people who really want to be here, because I figure everybody else will have turned off at least a third of the way into that.
Or from second three.
Mark, thanks for joining us.
Trent, good that I could make it.
How quickly did you get here from work? What kind of land speed record did you set this evening?
Let's say I just went very fast. And every slow driver in Hobart pulled in front of me, applied the brakes, indicated, changed their mind, changed lanes, changed back again. And then I was locked out of the building and Garth had to come and let me in. But I made it. That's the main thing.
And you made it just in time to talk about what we've been playing lately.
Which is what again?
It's the birthday present.
Oh, of course. Amadeus, Amadeus.
My favourite.
How quickly they forget. From Pearl Games, the game of Deus, designed by Sébastien Dujardin, who's a Belgian.
Really?
Who co-designed Troyes.
Ah. Troyes.
Troyes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is yet another board game where you are building an ancient civilization.
But not on hexes.
No.
Not on hexes,
though. Not on hexes, on a modular board of circles.
Teardrops, even.
Yes. Bit of both of those, isn't there?
But it is modular. One thing I found interesting was that you could set it up basically however you like, in any shape you want. And each colour on the board represents different resources, of course. And there are barbarian villages which hold victory points, which you are meant to steal as you're building your ancient civilization, with cards that represent different building types, like science and military and marine, etc. And on your go, you can... Well, there's really one choice you have on your go, and that is to either play a card into a column in a tableau in front of you, into a column of that colour, activating the card and any others you might have of that colour in said column, or you can sacrifice your cards to the gods and use the god powers that are built into them. And there are a bunch of gods in this game, Minerva and Mars and Salieri and Amadeus and Dopey and Bashful. And we were just kind of sacrificing...
Invoke the power of Iniesta.
Yeah, the orange god of orange things.
I sacrifice my cards to green and use the green power.
Exactly.
The game ends when all of the points in the barbarian villages have run out, or when all the temples have been built, and they're a special kind of card and a special colour of card, and how many temples you play with depends on how many players that you have. And that's one thing I will say for this game, is that it really scales very well, in as much as a game that only plays 2 to 4 can be said to scale at all.
Yep.
Deus has been copping some flack as really just a new Settlers of Catan.
Well, it does basically take all the pieces from Settlers of Catan, including the meeples, and just put them on a non-hexed-based modular board.
Mm. I don't think it's an unfair criticism.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. Mark?
Yeah, look, I liked it. It was more than just interesting.
That's one.
It did provide some variety, and that the stacking of the cards, where you sort of got to, you laid a second card of the same colour, and then you got to run through the powers of the cards again from the bottom to the top. That was really interesting. Although when you although when you did that at the beginning. You did it a few times, but then in the game, later on in the game, it hardly happened at all. So it didn't come up as much as it could have.
Yes.
But, you know, the way that the military worked was quite different. And the capturing the barbarian villages, where it's not necessarily you didn't have to have everything around it, but you had to have the most armies around
it. Yeah, technically you only get all the points that are left on the barbarian village if you manage to surround all the territories, but there are ways and various special powers that you can use to work. Could somebody turn that goddamn mobile phone off? Please. Is it, who is that?
Not me.
It's none of us?
No.
All right. What was I saying?
It was so...
Barbarians!
It was different, and it played quite quick. Like, it looked a bit complicated to start with, but it actually played quite quick, and I think the official time is 60 to 90 minutes.
Yep.
And I could certainly see us getting a game of this in 60 minutes now that we all know what we're doing. So I think it provided variety, it provided a depth of strategy, it provided a victory for me!
By how many points did you win, though, Mark? It must have been a landslide.
Look, I tell you what, the funnest part of the night, if there can be such a term, was when we were tallying up the score at the end. Garth called up his score first. Wasn't very much.
Wasn't very much at all.
Trent had a look of glee on his face when he heard Garth announce his score, because Trent's score was about 14 or 15 points more than Garth's.
In fact, this whole thing is emblazoned
etched
on my
in your
mind.
Memory.
It is, because... Garth, you scored 45. Mm. I had 53.
No, weren't you only about 38 or something?
Oh.
Yeah, it was 38.
So Garth, wow, okay. Garth goes 38.
38.
Trent goes
53.
And with this huge 52.
52.
With this huge grin on his face.
Oh, no.
52. I'm barely holding myself together.
And I must say, you played it so cool. It was deadpan, absolutely. What did you get, Trent? Oh. And then the reveal.
Then I went 53, 1 point more. And look, it was the temples. I think I had 3 temples out, and they all got maximum points for all of them. So I got 36 points from the temples, because they can get a maximum of 12 each.
Despite this experience, I must say that I did enjoy myself. Although I don't think Deus offers anything new. Like anything new at all. Mm. I mean, look, it's hand management with cards, it's managing resources, it's victory points, it's a little bit of area control, it's tableau building. We've seen all these before, but I think they've been redeployed in a really satisfying way. And you know, there is strategy, there are interesting decisions that you have to make, there's an economic engine to build, there's a little bit of player interaction. And I think sometimes it's just enough to have all the things that you like in other games redeployed in a satisfying way.
And I think particularly in a shorter time frame, so you get that civilization building feel, but it doesn't have to be a 3 or 4 hour epic.
I agree completely. I wrote down, doesn't outstay its welcome, which I think with a lot of these games, it really, really does. I really do want to go and talk about the art.
Oh, yes, me too.
Because unlike Samurai Spirit, which has amazing art, I was really disappointed. And even just from picking up those cards at the very first time, I was just sort of ho-hum about it.
It was quite blurry, wishy-washy, cartoony, like nothing art. And there were a couple of things in particular drove me nuts.
Well, I wrote down a whole list of pros and cons.
Yep.
Cons, art, quality. The coins, you couldn't even see what was a one or five. There was a number on there, but you couldn't really see it. I thought there was just really, I don't know, it was just ho-hum. And in one case, the colour of the wooden tokens didn't actually match the colour of the card, resource
with the
at all.
Wood. The colour on the card was green, but the wood itself was brown.
Yeah.
And then there were even cards that referred to the military cards as red when clearly those cards were pink. And I think one of the other cards was referred to as brown when they were in fact orange cards.
Yeah, look, I think what's going on there is a combination of bad colour choice,
mm-hmm.
but worse colour reproduction.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, I've worked with printers and stuff in the past, and if you go with a bad one, what you get back for the printer does not represent what you actually had proofed or what you actually designed.
Yeah,
and I suspect in the case of especially the pink cards, were clearly meant to be red.
Yeah, I agree.
I suspect that's the problem.
It's just a shame because
it's a real shame because it ruins what otherwise is a very satisfying, because you get immediate rewards in this game. It's all about those chains of cards that you have to put together in those columns. And I found it quite satisfying to play.
Yeah, look, I think it works really well. For me, I certainly didn't take advantage of the temples early enough in the game because I got maybe 20 points out of the potential 36.
Yeah.
So I missed out a fair bit on that. I think the strategy that you take with your temples, because the temples basically guide the way that you should be playing, impacts the game dramatically. But another thing, which Trent, I thought you did really, really well in this, was that you were burning through those cards to make offerings to the gods and therefore allow yourself more options rather than just play a production, get a bit of wood. And I was a bit scared to do that initially because I wasn't sure on how often these cards are going to come back. Is the card I've got in my hand a good one, or can I just throw it away and something better will turn up?
But that's what we mean by their strategy in this game, because you don't have to play it that way, or one way or the other. It's entirely up to you. There are ways to go about it.
Yeah, and you were spread all over the board completely, I hardly even came out of my one little corner. But you could see both of those strategies had their positives and negatives. I didn't get to many of the barbarian villages because I did hang back in the corner. But some of those cards where they gave you resources for each building you had in one particular spot, I was getting two, three, or even four buildings in the one spot because it wasn't spreading out. So, yeah, a number of different strategies you can do.
Well, I recommend it, and I thank you, gentlemen, very, very much. And anybody else who contributed, I know it was more than just you two because you're both cheap.
That's possibly why the art wasn't that great. Mark may have bought it, you know, from somewhere
in a back market.
Oh, it's a cheap Hong Kong knockoff.
Back lane.
Right. Thoroughly recommend it for my part, despite the fact that the art is a little.
I think
annoying.
It was a lot of fun. I'd certainly play it again. The art, you can get past it. Yeah. I just thought it was, you know, just a couple of questionable design choices, maybe bad printing. But, you know, the game itself is awesome. And that nice niche of 60 to 90 minutes where the decision-making is simple but tough, it's a good game. I really enjoyed it.
I'd love to see, though, re-implement with a different theme. Like, let's not have it be civilization building and the gods. Like, you could make a really, really interesting theme. On a podcast I read the other day about, like, let's have a baking game. There's all these baking TV shows at the moment, and the excitement of what you get out of when you put the ingredients together and you put it in the oven, you don't know how it's going to turn out. Let's do an interesting theme.
You mean Pantry Master? That's already been invented.
No, I know there's Pantry Master and Panty Master. But look, let's just see some new themes. But, yeah, I recommend it as well.
Mark had a chat to Australian designer Phil Walker-Harding just a couple of nights ago, and we've got the results of that to play next, have we? Okay. Fresh from the Spiel des Jahres.
Recommended list.
Recommended. So not nominated for an award, but very highly commended. Yeah. Okay, for his game, which is pronounced... Coming up next on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is a show called The Dice Men Cometh. Ortego and Feral on 99.3 FM, Edge Radio with The Dice Men Cometh, and Mark chatting to Australian board gaming designer Phil Walker-Harding a couple of nights ago. Sounded like this.
So here on The Dice Men Cometh, we love to speak to the leading Australian figures in the board game industry, And with me tonight is Phil Walker Harding. We know his company, Adventureland Games. We know a lot of his games. But Phil, thank you so much for joining me tonight on The Dice Men Cometh.
Thanks for having me.
And look, there is so much happening with you. Firstly, the very exciting news that Cacao is on the recommended list for the Spiel des Jahres. Now, how long ago did you know that that was going to happen?
So it came out through Abacus Spieler in Germany, and so I was kind of getting updates from them that there was a little bit of buzz, that the game was going pretty well over there, and yeah, some people had suggested it might make it on the list. So I was, yeah, pretty excited the day the nominations were announced, and yeah, didn't get a nomination, but was really thrilled to be on the recommended list. So yeah, I found out when everyone else found out, yeah.
Congratulations again from us. You do have a great pedigree of games. I remember actually very early on when I didn't know a lot about board games, way back in 2008, I remember Tom Vassell talking about you and your card game Archaeology, and clearly you've continued to bring out hit after hit. Now, are you going to get a trip to Germany out of this?
No. I'm sure I could go and visit the Spiel des Jahres ceremony. I think anybody can. But no, it'd be expensive. Maybe one of these years I'll make it out. I did actually go to the Essen Fair a few years ago to peddle some of my designs, which was pretty exciting. But yeah, a bit expensive just to fly out all the time.
The other game we're all excited about at the Dice Men Cometh is Sushi Go.
Aha, yes.
Now, we've been playing it. We love it. I want to ask, though, the design process and the pitch. I want to know a bit of the background of that, because I've actually been a fan of Game Right games for many years. And in fact, when I came back into gaming, they were some of the first games that I played with my family. So can you tell us a bit about that whole process?
Yeah, similar with me. I've had lots of great experiences with Game Right. So when I got back into the hobby, Loot was a big hit with me. Yeah, so I always have liked Game Right, and especially their little card game line. And so I'd always had it in the back of my head, if I could design a card game with, you know, 100 to 120 cards in it, that was very family friendly, that I'd like to pitch it to Game Right. So that was always in the back of my head. But Sushi Go came about because I'm a big fan of Seven Wonders, and also to a lesser extent Fairy Tale, which is another older game. And they both use the drafting mechanic of passing the cards around the table, choosing one and passing your hand on. And I felt, I'd been playing a lot of Seven Wonders, and I felt, I love Seven Wonders, but I hate explaining it to new players. It takes about as long to explain as to play sometimes, for new players anyway. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if there was just a super simple drafting game? Similarly, Fairy Tale's pretty simple, but it just has a few quirky rules, and the graphic design's a bit crazy, and it just was never seemed to be a game that was easy to teach and get to the table. So I thought, let me simplify that mechanic, boil it all the way down to its core, and let me see if I can come up with a really quick little card game that is essentially just that mechanic in action. So that was kind of my little design brief in my head. I instantly thought, well, if we're passing cards around the table, what sort of theme could fit with that? And I instantly thought of a sushi train, just because I like sushi. And so then I just kind of went to work and designed it. And I actually self-published it first. So I did a small print run myself. And then someone at Game Right just played it at a friend's house and contacted me about it.
Oh, wow. So you didn't actually even, you thought of them, but you didn't actually pitch it to them.
No, so at that stage I was pretty focused on self-publishing my designs. I haven't had much good luck sort of getting into the ears of American publishers, just because a lot of bigger publishers seem to prefer to meet at conventions or meet in person, as opposed to just, you know, unsolicited emailing, you know. So I kind of just thought, oh, well, I'll see what happens, I'll put it out there, and was happy to self-publish it, but was, yeah, really excited that it just fell into their hands.
And look, what I must admit, what I love about it is it's simple. You can play it with kids, but I've played it with adults, and it can be a full-on, in-your-face experience. I love that, the situation. And I guess you see it happen with Seven Wonders as well, where you see a card that you know someone is going to want, and so you take it just to shaft them because they've seen it go past their nose once, and then they don't get to see it come back again. I really like that. It can be quite cutthroat with adults.
Yeah, well, I definitely wanted to create a game that adults and kids would both enjoy. And I tend to find if I just make a game that's sort of at my level of complexity enjoyment, it seems to appeal to children. So I'm not sure what that says about myself, but I tend to just like lighter games. I tend to quite naturally end up designing in that space where, you know, it's fun, at least on some level, for adults and more serious gamers, but is generally user-friendly enough for younger kids too.
On that note, Cacao doesn't seem to be that light. I've only seen it in a video. Is the English release coming shortly?
Yes, so Z-Man Games is doing the English release, and it should be out very, very shortly, like within the month or so. And yeah, it is a bit of a heavier game. I guess just having, you know, tiles and pieces as opposed to simply cards is a bit more complex for me. But it's still quite light, though. It's still definitely aimed at family gamers, and it can definitely be played with kids. Probably not quite as young as Sushi Go, but it's still definitely sort of aiming for families, yeah.
And so now you've got Z-Man, you've got Abacus Spiel, you've got Game Right. So clearly now you've made some connections with these game companies. Do you think that's going to open the way for greater distribution of, firstly, some of your older games, but also new titles?
When you work with a publisher, you kind of build a relationship with them, basically. So you instantly sort of have, I guess, some interest and access to them when you're pitching new designs. So because they already know you, they're open to hearing about your new ideas. So yeah, getting your foot in the door with a couple of publishers is really great in that regard, in that it just gives you, yeah, some people who are in the industry who are interested in you. But I would also say just having games out there that do well, even if you do self-publish them, publishers are always, you know, got their ear to the ground for what's new and what's interesting. So in the early days, just having my own self-published stuff out, I think, helped open the doors for me as well. Oh, I did actually crowdfund the first printing of Sushi Go, but that was on Indiegogo, which is another crowdfunding platform. That was before Australians could get onto Kickstarter. But that was quite a modest little campaign. So I have done a bit of everything, really. So I've done just homemade self-publishing. I've done professional self-publishing with and without Kickstarter, and I've done the traditional publisher route. But for me, I think if I feel a game could really have a home at a particular publisher and would suit a particular publisher, then that's sort of the route I'll go down. But I think it really depends on the project. But yeah, these days I'm sort of more focused on, I guess, designing with other publishers in mind. But yeah, as I said, I've sort of tried every avenue, and I'll probably still continue to self-publish a bit on the side as well.
Now, we talked about the spiel. Is Sushi Go going to get a German release, do you think?
It's actually got a German release. So Zoch partnered with Game Right to put out the German release last year. They changed the artwork, and it's really quite striking and cool, weird artwork. So if you haven't seen the German art for Sushi Go, have a look. There's a big cat on the cover who's about to eat all the sushi, and all the sushi looks incredibly scared and worried, and it's a different take, but it's fun.
Wow, that's really different. It is hard for us here on the other side of the world to really get our heads around, not just the German game market, but kids' games. We spoke briefly on our last show about some of the kid games that come out in the Kinderspiel, and some of them, I guess, we're just scratching our head about. I guess we're still learning about that market.
Yeah, I think there's a definite aesthetic just both to design and also sort of presentation of games in Germany and Europe. That's sort of quite different to us. So, you know, a lot of us grew up with mass market American games, and they have their own style and look. The way art and design works for European families just seems to be a little bit different. Yeah, and I think you probably have to be in it over there to really get a full feel for it. But yeah, so when I saw the German art, I thought, whoa, this is a bit different. I don't know, you know, is this a good move for that market? But they know their market, you know. They know that's going to connect with kids over there, and yeah.
Now, look, I must admit, I stumbled across something tonight that I was totally unaware of. I own Small World, and I own the Cursed expansion. So what was your role in that?
So, Days of Wonder, after Small World was a big hit and they decided to do expansions, they ran a competition for people to design race or a power, and it was just like an open thing internationally, and I just submitted a couple of ideas, and they picked my werepower, like werewolf power, and so that's in the expansion, and I designed that. That was very cool.
It must have been interesting growing up with your household, looking at what you have done and what your brother David Harding has done. Tell me, what was life like with you and your brother growing up? Are you just playing games all the time and designing your own games?
So we definitely played a lot of games growing up, both board games and video games. Well, we played, you know, all the traditional family games, so Monopoly and Uno, and we played Risk and Strategio, and we had Amazing Labyrinth from Ravensburger. We played Scotland Yard, another Ravensburger game. We also played Dungeon, the D&D board game. And yeah, through that whole time, just as a hobby on the side, we often would get together with my cousin and make our own games. So we did that a lot, board games and card games. Yeah, I think we got to the point, though, where we kind of got, I guess, a bit sick of all the board games we had. We got a bit more into video games, so the 8-bit Nintendo was a big thing for us, and the Super Nintendo. When we got a bit older, I guess, it just kind of, as you do when you get older, games sort of drift out of your life a little bit. And then we both got back into games sort of 5 to 10 years ago.
Is there any professional jealousy between the two of you?
I don't think so.
Maybe I should ask him.
We help each other out. So David does a lot of playtesting with me, which is great, and I've helped him out with a few things as well, and we test each other's games and projects. So, no, I think it's great that he's been able to get another sort of a little Australian publisher going. Because I'm sort of more focusing now on just design work, it kind of is good timing in that way as well.
Your cousin wasn't Matt Dunstan, was it?
No, my cousin's Chris Morphew, who's actually a well-known young adult fiction writer. So there you go. But I do know Matt. When he lived in Sydney, he used to be in a group I used to game with. So I know Matt as well. So there's quite a few talented designers around at the moment.
Everyone talks about a golden age of board games. Well, we're certainly in a golden age of Australian board games and board game designers. And so now tell us what's coming up, Phil. What's on the horizon for you?
I have a few games that are in the pipeline to come out over the next year or so, but I'm probably not really able to announce those until the publisher does. But there's some exciting things on the way, that's for sure.
Anything else you want to tease our listeners about before we go?
Yeah, okay. Well, I will just say, for people who enjoy Sushi Go, there is a lot more on the way. So when it kind of started selling well, I just went to town trying to come up with a whole bunch of other game ideas kind of in the Sushi Go world. So I've pitched a whole lot of it to Game Right, and we'll see what happens. I've spent a lot of time making up stuff for Sushi Go.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we all know the sushi train never stops. Phil, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us tonight. We're really excited to see what new games you've got coming down the track, to see what more you've got for Sushi Go. Congratulations again on your Spiel recommended list for Kakao, and all the best in the future, and hopefully we'll catch up with you at a game convention soon.
Great, thanks a lot.
Mark, I'm sure, I'm positive it's pronounced Kakao.
How did he pronounce it?
It's the substitute for chocolate.
It is, yes. Exactly, that's what it is.
I'm sure that's Kakao.
I like Garth's version.
Anyway, that was a nice chat. Sounds like his brother, doesn't he?
Yeah, they're two peas in a pod, those guys. It was very engrossing talking to them. We did have an enthralling discussion. I found it riveting.
It was also interesting. I thought it was really interesting to listen to the interesting interview.
How many times has Mark said the word interesting so far tonight?
If you're playing along at home.
Well, there is six little check marks here so far.
Okay.
Which is pretty good, because that's what he did last episode.
Mark has opened up thesaurus.com. And is just checking things off. We'll see how he goes next, because I'm going to bombard him with all sorts of prepossessing, riveting, stirring, entrancing, and thought-provoking and unusually absorbing material in Board Gaming News, which is coming up next on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Zola Jesus and a track called Ego on Edge Radio. Trent, Mark, and Garth for The Dice Men Cometh. So after the Dillinger escape plan, nothing else sort of quite matches up, does it?
No.
Hey, before you get into the news, though, I'd love to give a shout out to my mum. Because she told me that she's been listening the last couple of weeks. She
said, oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She said she has no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, hi, Mark's
but
mum.
It sounds like we're having fun, so that's all that matters.
Oh.
So, hi, Mum. I hope you're well if you're listening. And thanks for caring.
I thought you were going to channel your inner Rove and say hi to your mum for me.
No.
No? Board gaming news. Early May saw the latest installment of the Tokyo Game Market, which is the big fair that happens over there twice a year. 8,500 people in Tokyo. Many, many Japanese-style games on show. Some of the hottest titles to come out of it that may be getting translations or not. Minerva. Second time she's been mentioned tonight.
Mm.
This is a Japanese-style Euro game of managing Roman cities. Also has a solo play mode, very popular, one from Okazu brand.
Mark will like that because you're building cities and it sounds like you might be invoking God's powers.
Excellent. I can't wait to get another one of those to the table.
Japan's Oink Games have released Troll, which involves stealing treasure from a troll. It's a simple little deductive card game with really, really sweet art. One very un-Japanesey game, which was there at the Tokyo Game Market, is the Condition of Watson, a Sherlock Holmes themed game, which takes about 2 hours to play, apparently, unlike most Japanese games. So something a little bit different. That comes from Circle 3D6, and it features all the sort of classic Holmes and Watson characters and their portraits, but in a manga style.
Ooh.
And also my favorite title, from Okazu brand, Go Da Cheese, which is another small card game of playing animal cards around a circle of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Really good one for kids. Go Da Cheese!
They've stolen Mice and Mystics' Wheel of Cheese theme.
So that was the Tokyo Game Market, which, as I say, was early in May. But coming up next month, in fact, not far away at all, June 3rd to the 7th, is the Origins Game Fair in Columbus, Ohio. Origins sort of poo-pooed a little bit. I mean, it's another one of these huge American conventions that gets more people than live in the town of Launceston going to it, and we'll never see the likes of it here in Australia. But
one of the things it did cop it a lot for over many years was the Origins Award. The Origins Awards, and because they were crowd-voted. And so I think from memory, Looney Labs won a lot of awards because they would have a great big booth. They'd have lots of people having fun. Of course, they'd come out of the booth. They'd go away and vote on their little card. And of course, they'd vote Looney Labs very highly. So I remember Tom Vassell in particular was not very fond of these awards, although he did apparently get involved with the campaign committee to try and get them back on track to be a more mainstream award, I guess. And I think they did have some success with that.
That's right. And some titles which are getting a release slash preview at Origins Game Fair. Z-Man Games have got The Voyages of Marco Polo, which was recommended in the Kennerspiel Awards. Dice Rolling and Placement, and lots of interesting choices in that one. It's on my personal list. Spyfall, the party game from Cryptozoic.
Yep.
A social deduction game where everyone gets a card showing a location, except for one player who gets a card that says spy. Everybody then proceeds to ask questions of each other and hilarity ensues.
Sounds intriguing.
Lagrangia from... that's a good one. Lagrangia from Stronghold Games. 6 rounds of dice and farming.
Right.
From Plaid Hat Games, Spectre Ops is finally hitting
cool.
Up. Yeah, so this is the game that looks like a science fiction descent, but plays like Letters from Whitechapel. Secret Movement.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Secret Movement.
Curious.
One that I like the look of, Bring Out Your Dead, Bribing Grave Diggers to Bury Your Family.
I'm really interested to see how this plays.
Have you seen the pictures?
No, I haven't. I want to have a look at that. I'll write it down.
Meeple, Tombstones and Coffins.
That's refreshing.
Spirit Island from Greater Than Games. This is Robinson Crusoe with magic. It's a co-op game set on a deserted island. Ashes, Rise of the Phoenix Born, also from Playdate Games. It's a two-player beat-em-up card game.
Not based on cricket.
No. In other news, there's two new ship expansions for the Firefly game from Gale Force 9. Oh, will you please just stop? Please.
But look, if you're a brown coat, you love that sort of stuff, and you're just going to buy whatever they put out.
And speaking of please stop, Sentinels of the Multiverse, the RPG, and the inevitable Kickstarter for it will be coming in 2016 from Greater Than Games.
You don't need to worry about it because you got rid of your game.
Yes, in the math trade. Thank you. Or maybe it's time I bought a new one. New expansion coming for Vlada Hvatal's Mage Knight. The third expansion for this game, The Shades of Tesla. None of us have played Mage Knight.
No.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I played it once with a good friend of the show.
Tale, yes.
With good friend of the show, John.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, playing a long, complicated game with John is always fun, even though it might take a while. Look, I did find it fascinating, compelling, intriguing, and inviting, but it did drag on a lot for me. Look, I'd be happy to revisit it, but, yeah, it's just... It's a bit epic.
Okay. I mean...
I want to play it. I reckon it looks a lot of fun.
He's our favourite designer.
Yeah.
And this is his big epic game.
Exactly right. And it's constantly up there on the lists. It's number 5 or number 8 on Board Game Geek. It's really, really popular.
Well, maybe we should add that to our wish list for BorderCon.
It might already be there for some of us.
There you go.
We'll get into that in just a moment.
We'll talk to that soon.
Just a couple more quick bits of news. There's a deluxe edition of Machikoro coming in a metal tin with both expansions and some exclusive cards.
La-di-da.
Available in September. Also, backers of the $469,000 Kickstarter for Dust Babylon have been left completely high and dry by a complete and utter and very public breakdown between the game's partners, Battlefront Miniatures and Dust Studios. It's all over a list of the miniatures that had to get produced and invoicing on that list, and it's really just petty stuff, and it's all spilled into social media, and people who have put money down are just waiting to get the stuff that they paid for last year, so it's nothing sensible happening there. And finally, when the U.S. Department, the U.S. Director of National Intelligence released details of the contents of Osama bin Laden's laptop, the world was surprised to discover an article about Steve Jackson games on there, specifically the game Illuminati, and specifically some cards that appear to predict 9/11 by showing pictures of attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And ever since, there's been speculation that Steve Jackson Games was part of the 9/11 plot. And it seems that this was news for bin Laden, too. There you go.
Well, there you go.
That's been news.
That's pretty interesting.
Fantastic.
You haven't got anything else to say about that, Mark?
I think it was fascinating. Hey, before we go and talk about our wish list for BorderCon, though, because there are so many inviting games for us to play, another shout out to Steve from New York.
That's Steve O'Rourke from
Steve
New York.
Steve O'Rourke from New York.
Steve O.
From New York. No, that's from Boston. Who told us he got all our cards, our Take Backsy cards, took them out to his local game store, Modern Myths. Shout out to them. When he went back, they were all gone. So maybe we've got a huge number of fans. New York is our growing fan base.
Or maybe they were in the bin.
Either way, we've got more coming your way, Steve. Two carrier pigeons worth this time.
And look, Steve's kids quoting Monty Python in our email. That's just fantastic.
Australia, 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 we love you. Amen. That's great. Great stuff. Steve, thank you very much for spreading the word about the podcast. It's lovely. It really is. Okay. BorderCon.
Yeah.
We're not going to be here next week doing the show. We're going to be heading off to Albury. We're looking forward to it, and particularly to a whole bunch of games that we're hoping to play. We'll talk about those next on the Dice Man Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM. The Howling Bells. This is the Dice Man Cometh. Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Trent, Mark and Garth signing off for a little over a week or so as we head up to Bordercon in Albury / Wodonga for the big one for 2015.
Now, I didn't go to this last year because I was not here. How do I explain this to my other half? Do I explain this as a work trip?
Yes.
Okay, if your other half is worried that you're going away to play up with the boys and get lap dances and all that kind of stuff...
Is someone bringing lap dance? I didn't write that on the list.
No. This is a board game convention. Mm. This is the opposite of sex.
Okay.
Now, before we get to Bordercon, we'll be in Melbourne, and specifically, Mark?
Yep, we'll be at Games Laboratory in their bar there downstairs next Thursday. So, in fact, about this time or just a little bit later in 7 days, we'll be there having a drink, ready to chat to anyone who wants to come along. I'm sure there'll be some games being played.
So that's on the first Thursday in June.
Yeah, we will be the strange Tasmanians standing in the corner with beer. And look, if you're in Melbourne and you're coming out and you're not sort of going to bed early for your big Bordercon road trip the next day, come down and say g'day and play a game and have a beer with us.
We'll even have some more Take Backsy cards to hand out.
So many games I'm looking forward to playing at Bordercon. I'd love to get my hands on a copy of Castles of Mad King Ludwig. Mm-hmm. Mark, you've played it. It sounds fantastic. Although I might have to throw out my own copy of Suburbia.
Yes,
I'll buy it off you.
I've already booked in a game of Elysium for the Saturday morning. Unfortunately, it's without the Matt Damon expansion.
For me, I want to try Roll for the Galaxy. Big fan of Race for the Galaxy.
No,
I want to try Roll for the Galaxy.
No, you're on your own there with that one.
No, they don't have a solo mode, so I'll have to find someone.
Mm, I believe there's a copy of Mysterium.
Oh, damn, that was next to my list.
Kicking around there. Yeah, it's Cluedo meets Dixit on acid.
Yep.
Sounds great.
I'll be in that.
Absolutely. Panamax, the headache-inducing game ships in the Panama Canal. I really want to try that one.
I want to try your copy of Greenland. That's what I want to try. I've deliberately not looked at anything about it. I've only gone by the fact that we get to hunt walruses or do something really, really odd.
The other one is Imperial Settlers.
Oh, yeah, I had that as well.
It's got a kind of asterisk sort of theme, but, I mean, I'm getting the game 51st State that it's based on, so I don't know, maybe I'll upgrade, maybe I won't.
And Ignace A. Trevicek has been a winner for us.
Exactly.
Another one for me, Orleans, oh, okay. The one of the nominations for the Kennerspiel.
What is it, an economic worker placement thing? Or?
European resource management type stuff.
It's one of those games where the cover has someone looking out over the distance really concerned.
Yeah.
You know, your favourite picture
looking
on a board game
really
box.
Really worried and or hungry.
Or constipated.
Yes. Anyway, it's anything but refreshing. Well, it'll certainly be stimulating.
I would like to try Mage Knight. I think that looks awesome. A lot of fun. If we've got the time, I would love to play that.
What about a long game of Archipelago?
We've never had the guts to do that, have we?
No. And it's one of those games where you only just get your economic engine up and running and suddenly the game ends.
Yep.
So getting a chance to play that for a few hours would be great.
Yeah, look, I would like to get a full game of Alchemists. I had a half a game with Eos at PAX last year, and I'd like to get a full game of that in and see what it's really like.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to change tack a little bit and say I just want to try Cold Express because it's got 3D trains. I want to try it.
Mark, you've played Glory to Rome.
Yeah, I have, and I played it again in Melbourne on the weekend.
Okay.
It's great,
I've never played it. It's an absolute bona fide classic, and yes, we'd love to get a chance.
Definitely. I've reached the bottom of my list. What? Although, I'd love to say that I get a game of Virgin Queen or Here I Stand In, but no. I just don't think I can commit that time over the weekend.
No, well, I can't believe you guys haven't said Fire in the Lake yet. Did you really not say that?
It's here on my list. Yeah. No one wants to play that more than me. Buddy.
Yeah, well, I'll be there because I think that's got to be a game to play, but I think it'd be bloody hard to get in there.
I'll hopefully get a few rounds of Netrunner in.
Well, I'm picking up...
It's been a while.
Yeah,
I'm picking up my copy of Andy and Abyss. I won't know how to play it, though, but maybe someone will.
Yeah, that's cool. And I still want to play Terra Mystica. I know it's been around for a while.
I have a copy.
I know. I've got your copy. I've read the rules. We just haven't played it yet. I want to get that to the table.
And speaking of games that I own that I don't get to play, Merchants and Marauders.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I want somebody else who knows that game to actually take me through it because I can't make any sense of it because it is a bit of an Ameritrash cluster. And I just want to see if there's actually a real game in there.
Well, it constantly gets plaudits for being one of the best pirate-themed games. Mm. So we've got to play it. We've only played it once or twice, and this was years ago. I don't think I have anything else. I wrote down Lap Dance, seeing as you said that, you know, this is not that kind of trip, so if anyone's got a copy, I'll have a go.
Hang on, you've got Munchkin written on your list there, Garth. What's that?
I just wrote that to see who was watching.
I'm only just getting started. Istanbul, Kanban.
Oh, yeah, I did have Kanban,
yeah. So, look, lots of stuff to look forward to at BorderCon. Hello in advance to everybody that we're going to see. I mean, look, I've got all these games and I'm hoping to line up, but it just becomes a scheduling nightmare as soon as you get there. And it's like, oh, do we stand here and chat? Do we go to the bar? Do we go to get breakfast, lunch or dinner? Or do we go and play a game? It's a great, great get together.
It doesn't sound like a bad way to make some decisions though, does it?
Exactly.
Look, I'm really excited. It's such a great weekend. This is, for you and I, Trent, this is going to be our third one. Starting to get to know some people. I'm really excited.
Also, must send a shout out to everybody who's put down the entrance fee for the big geek quiz night for the Hobart Game Society coming up this Saturday at the Hotel Soho right here in Hobart Town. I haven't talked about it much on this show because I haven't had to, because it's absolutely sold out.
Which is fantastic. I think everyone involved should be really proud of themselves, and I hope we get some bonus points for saying that.
Because you guys are competing. Yeah, I'm hosting.
You're hosting.
All right.
We've got two podcasts, two nerdy podcasts.
Because the Nerdzilla guys from the ABC are joining.
Combined into one team. So how can we go wrong, I say?
Famous last words.
Mark. The questions. You guys are screwed.
But we're young. We're with it.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
And at BorderCon.
If not at BorderCon. All right, this is the Dice Men Cometh. It's Radio 99.3 FM signing off. Catch ya.
Bye.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.